guys, we have a treat this morning. Mike Sanders is going to preach this morning. He's made for this. I'm excited. Let me pray for him real quick. Jesus, thank you for Mike. Thank you for your church. You love your church. You're going to speak through Mike, Lord. God, I pray you give us ears to hear what you're saying today, Lord. We need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, who's excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Really? That's all you got? I said, who's excited to be in the house of the Lord? Get up! Praise God! Praise God! Like your mama just got healed from cancer! Praise God! Like you just got your stolen car back! Come on! Woo! Hey, listen. You guys don't know this. I've been waiting 44 years for this moment right here. God has called me for the last 44 years for this moment right here. If you don't know what it's like to live inside the will of God, you don't know what it's like to live, you guys. I can promise you with everything inside of me, when me and God are walking like this together, the Holy Spirit just fills me up all over my entire body. I get covered with goosebumps. I just want to worship and praise God with all that I got. I promise you, if y'all see me praising Jesus in my truck, you would think I was crazy. I promise. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to come to you this morning, and Lord, I want you to take us into the deep this morning. Lord, I want you to take us into the deep water, Lord. I want to pray that you give me a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning, that the words that come out of my mouth will be not be my words, Father God, but they will be your words. I pray that every single person that is in this room right now, Father God, has ears to hear. I pray to Heavenly Father, whatever it is that you need to say to them, you use me as a vessel to say it. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Open your Bibles. Hey, I ain't Jake. If I see you not grabbing for a Bible, I will call you out. It's a Bible in every pew. Get the Bible in your hand. You got them? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So here's the thing, right? Here's why I'm so aggressive about that. See, because I grew up with learning disabilities. And in order for me to understand how to spell words and read words, not only was I an LD, but I'm dyslexic. I had to write the word, I had to say the word, and I had to spell the word. And what that does is it helps me hear the word, right? So while we're reading the word, we're going to read it together, so that out loud, so that we hear it, we see it, and then by chance, it'll have a better opportunity to get through some of our thick skulls, right? All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I was supposed to write a note up here to remind myself to go slow. Go slow. As for you, no, y'all got to read it with me. Come on. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires, its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God is rich in mercy and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. That was not right. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You got the rest of it? Because I got it. My Bible's right here. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. I'm going to say that one more time. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared. Nice. Good job. Nice, nice. You guys know why I keep wadding these up and throwing them on the ground? Because if what I say up here today is true, it will change your eternal life. And if it's not, it's just garbage. I'll pick them up. Don't worry. Hey, so y'all know recently I moved, right? So one of the first things I did when we moved was I took my son Mason, who's back there today, praise God. My kid is an only child, pretty much like an only child, okay? He does not want to sit in the house. Thank God, right? He would much rather be outside running the streets like he's 17. He's 6, but he wants to be outside running the streets. And we moved into a small community, so praise Jesus, like that's a possible thing without having to worry about a drive-by, right? Mostly, unless they're deer season. So the first thing I did when we moved in is I took him down to this little sidewalk here, and I said, okay, Mason, you see that sidewalk? Don't go past it. You see this sidewalk right here? Don't go past it. Don't let me catch you in the street. And you see this light post right here? Don't go past it. And then you see the light went on the top of that light post? Your butt better be inside when it comes on. Real talk, right? I had to set some boundaries for my child. Because without bound, never mind, that's a whole nother sermon. Listen. So long before we were here, or the bricks of the build this building were here, long before Moses, long before Abraham, long before any of that, the God that we serve, the God that's in this book right here, reached into some dirt that he created, and he breathed life into it, and he called it Adam. And he set up some guidelines for Adam, right? He made the sun and the moon and the stars. He made it so he can be daylight and dark time. He created all these animals. He created all these trees that bear fruit. And he said, Adam, this is the Garden of Eden. You can go anywhere. You can do anything you want to do. But what you cannot do is eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you eat from it, you will surely die. You will surely die. So we're like, well, hold on, that don't make no sense, because I read Genesis, and babe, is that water still sitting next to you behind you? I need it. How does that make any sense? How can he surely die? Because we thought he had some kids and they killed each other. Listen, the moment that he created original sin, the original sin, once that was created, once that happened, he was dead on the inside. His spirit no longer was God a part of that spirit with him. He used to walk in the garden, right? And he would walk with God. And they would have conversation. And then he created the original. He broke the original sin. And then God came and he said, Adam, Eve, where are you at? And they said, we're hiding. We're scared. Why are you scared? Because we're naked. Who told you you were naked? That's not what I know. That's not from me. That's from the evil, right? So here's the deal. Adam committed the first sin. So in my lifetime, this thing came along. It was DNA. Like when I was born in the 80s, right, in the 70s and the 60s, DNA wasn't a real big thing, right? But as I grew older in the 90s and in the 2000s, the DNA became a huge thing in the courtroom. So here's the thing. I can go around and I can cut every one of your freaking arms, and I can use some scientific utensils to understand that there is blood, there is sin in every one of your DNAs. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. Now, you might be asking yourself, how do you know that? Well, because I read the Bible, right? And now, you might be asking yourself, just because you read the Bible, you believe it? Well, here's the truth about it. Yeah, I believe it because I read the Bible. As a matter of fact, I believe every word in that Bible. And I don't care if people will say, oh, this changed and that changed and through the ages. Nah, my God's bigger than that. I promise you, when I get on my knees and I pray and I say, Holy Spirit, please guide my mind as I read your word, anything that was mistranslated will be retranslated into the way that my heart needs to understand it. I promise you that. So, not only do I believe it because I read it, I believe it because I lived it. Look, here's what it is, okay? 7 years old, 8 years old. I don't want to lie up here, so I'm going to say somewhere between 5 and 7. My mother had 6 kids, 8 altogether, but 6 kids, we all grew up together. Every month, on the first of the month, she got a check from the government in a green envelope, and she got an envelope full of paper food stamps. And so this one particular time, my mom goes, every month she will go to the Chrysler, the Safeway that used to be on Chrysler. She would go in there and she would pay them their little 1%. They'd cash her little $1,200 check from the government. She would take her little paper food stamps and she would buy us groceries, right? And so one particular day, it was in the middle of the night. It felt like the middle of the night. It was probably 9 o'clock for a 6-year-old kid. We go up, who remembers Food Barn? Anybody here remember Food Barn on 23rd? At Lee Summit Road? Okay. So, you know what killed Food Barn? Hy-Vee, when they built it next door. So, Hy-Vee was just built, and it was like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and my mom, like often she did, sit in the car! You're not getting out! Right? Don't ask for nothing! Right? So, my mom goes in the store, and my oldest sister, I'm second, so she was gone by now. So it was just me in the front seat and my little brothers and sisters in the back seat. And as soon as she went in that store, I reached in that purse and I reached in that green envelope and I took a $20 or a $10 bill out. And then I had the audacity to take that $10 or $20 bill and laid it on the sidewalk so that when my mom came out of the store, I could make it look like I was running up there to find it. Right? 6, 7 years old. Who taught me? Look, my mom was not a good mom, but I promise you she didn't teach me to steal at that point. Who teaches a 7-year-old how to steal and connive and be like that? Nobody. It's in us. Sin is in us. Okay. So we come out of our mama's belly a sinner. What now? What now? You're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Look, from the day I came out of my mom's belly to as of right now, I sinned this morning. I'm a sinner, right? Now what? Well, verse 3, we don't got to go to it. Verse 3, I'm going to tell you what it says in verse 3. It says we deserve God's wrath. We deserve it. You might want to be like, oh, Jesus loves. Yep, you're right. Jesus does love. Oh, Jesus is full of grace. Absolutely, Jesus is full of grace. I tell you what. Don't make Jesus the Lord of your life. Don't worry about it. Don't make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you get to hell, maybe you, Pharaoh, and his firstborn child can sit around talking about God's grace. Right? Can't say amen, say ouch. I don't like this flower being here. Donna Mills, if you see that, I apologize. I know that was you that put it there. Let me ask you guys a question. If we're dead, what can we do? What can we do if we're laying here dead?
Anybody? We can do absolutely nothing. We are dead in our sin. The connection between me and the one that created me does not exist. And there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. I am dead. I cannot move. I cannot pray. I cannot worship. I can do nothing. But there's good news. He already did it for you. He already did it. He already did it. Listen. Okay, so here's what it is. Here's what it is. This is not written on this paper, so I'm going to try to get it out without fumbling my words. Adam and Eve, right? They took some fig leaves, they put it over their body, and God said, no, I'm going to kill this deer, I'm going to make you some clothes. Blood was shed, right? Pharaoh did not listen to God and let the Israelites go free. So the final judgment, the final tribulation was God said, okay, dude, you don't want to let my people go. I'm going to kill every one of your firstborn. So what did God do? They sacrificed a lamb, and they rubbed that blood over the top of every Jew's door so that when the angels came and destroyed every firstborn in that area, they didn't kill the Jews' firstborns. And guess what happened? The angels came, and they wasn't playing games, y'all. They freaking killed every firstborn Egyptian, period, end of story. Yep, my God's loves. My God's got full of grace. But I'm going to tell you what, if you mess with him, you're going to get that wrath. That's just what it is. So, Adam and Eve sinned, guess what? They covered it by blood. Pharaoh sinned, guess what? They covered it by blood. So here's John the Baptist. He's walking along, and he sees Jesus, and what's the first thing he says? The Lamb of God that comes to save the world. Why did he call him a lamb? Because they were about to hang that dude on a freaking cross for you and you and you and you and mostly me. Thank you, Jesus, that they nailed him to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that they nailed him to the cross. But here's where some people get a little bit like, okay, he died for my sins, and they think that's the greatest thing he ever did. Nope, not true. The greatest thing he ever did was rose on the third day. If they hung him on that cross, and he sat in that tomb, and he never came out, then it was all for naught. But that ain't what happened. He rose on the third day. He walked with his disciples, and then he went into heaven, and he's going to be coming back. And if you don't accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, right in here and make him the Lord of your life, I promise you, there is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you will find yourself there for all of eternity while I'm kicking it with Jesus up in heaven. Can't say amen, say ouch. Now, some of y'all in here thinking like, well, Mike, you're doing a great job and all, but I've been saved for 10 years. What's this message got for me? I'm glad you brought that up, I'll tell you. I need a drink first. Let's talk about verse 10. So verse 10 says, you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, okay? Listen, you guys, here's the truth of the matter, okay? If you're sitting in this room today, let me back up. Here's what it is. For 3 years, it took 3 years. 3 years, Jesus walked with the disciples. 3 years, okay? In 3 years' time, he taught the disciples enough information to be able to take the gospel to the whole freaking planet. So if you're sitting in this room today and it's been 3 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 20 years since you were saved and allowed Jesus to come and live in your heart, and you're not doing the good works that he already prepared for you, get up and get to work. It's time. Listen, the vision passage for this church, I don't know if you guys know this,
Then Jesus came and said to them, "In all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Guess what? Independence, Missouri is a part of a nation. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So not only is he telling you that once you believe in me, once you believe in him, it's not, we're not done. We don't get to be like, "Oh, I believe in Jesus. Now everything is okay for the rest of my life." That's not how it works, you guys. Okay. Here's the truth. If you came and you asked me right now how it works, I could probably give you a pretty vague answer that I believe in my heart. But the truth of the matter is, we're all growing together, and I'm not done growing, right? So here's what it is. Verse 10, "You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that I have already prepared for you." So if the only time that you think about Jesus is on Sunday morning between 9:45 and noon, what I would do personally, just me, I will go home immediately and find me a quiet place where there's no wives complaining, no kids crying, no bills to look at. And I would go into that quiet place and I would get on my knees and I would say, "Lord, you are the Lord of my life. I know that. You know that. I haven't been living up to the potential that you put in me. I pray that you anoint me with the Holy Spirit, that I may know what the works you have prepared for me is, that I may walk how you walked in love, how you loved, that I may move how you moved. Lord, you are the Lord of my life." Heck, I wouldn't even leave this building until I found that quiet place. I understand, you guys, that not everybody here has the ability to speak to people. Simply holding a freaking door open at Quick Trip can change somebody's day. We don't know what that person is going through. I do a real good job having a freaking crappy morning and walking around like this all day. You know what I'm saying? So even if they walking like this, just smiling away, holding the freaking door open at Quick Trip could be the good work that God prepared for you to do. I want to share a story with you guys. So when I first came to this church, I wasn't here that long, a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And I don't even know I don't even know why to this day, right? My friend comes up to me after church in the parking lot, and he's like, "Hey, you want to go get some tacos?" Bro, let me tell you something. I was about 7 days sober, maybe 2 weeks tops. Yeah, I wanted some tacos. I was freaking hungry. It was summertime. This dude didn't have an air conditioner and his freaking windows didn't roll down. I didn't care. I wanted some freaking tacos. So he took me to Queen City Taco and he took the time to get to know me as a person, right? That did so much. Listen, some of you in the room know this. Others of you don't. When you're first in recovery, and you're used to being a freaking junkie and nobody freaking looking you in the eyes when you're walking down the street and freaking moving your mouth all around like this, right? And somebody takes the time out of their day to get to know you out of the kindness of their heart, being altruistic, giving something, expecting nothing in return, right? What did that do for me? That made me feel human. That made me feel human. That made me feel like I was worth just a little bit of something. That put some pep in my step for the next 3 or 4 weeks until I got to a point where something else put a pep in my step, right? So here's what I'm telling you, you guys. If you're sitting in this church and you know the person sitting next to you and you don't know the guy's name sitting 3 rows back, take the freaking time to get to know his name. That could be the good works that God prepared for you to do. Hey, listen, I'm going to have a couple friends of mine come up here on the stage with me. Cleveland, there you go. Come on. I didn't mean to yell at you, bro. I didn't see you back there. Come on, Cleveland. This is my friend Cleveland. Come here, Cleveland. This is my friend, Katie. Come on, Katie. Listen. Come on, Carl. Do me a favor. I'm going to run right here, so don't see me here. Okay. I'm going to step back a while. Oh, yeah, come here.
Okay, so listen to me. Let me ask you guys a question. We're gonna finish this out. How many people in this room were a little kid and you slammed your finger in the car door?
Like me, like three times. I'm hard-headed. It takes me a while to learn everything I do. It's, right?
So, what happens when you slam your car your finger in that car door?
I'm going to tell you what I don't do. I don't stand with my freaking hand in the door and say, "Oh, gee, jolly whiz, Beef, can you please unlock the door so my fingers don't hurt no more?" Absolutely not. I say, "Help!
Take over this room. Holy Spirit, I pray as if it was the day of Pentecost. I pray that you take us into the deep waters right now, Father God. I pray that you move in this room, Father God. Do not allow us to leave without knowing you and knowing your heart and knowing what you did for us on Calvary, God. Please, please move in this room today. I beg you, God, please move in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I know that you are at work in this place. I know that you are at work in this place, God. I believe in you with all that I am. Please move in here today. Worship you this morning, Father God. I begin to worship you with all that I am. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for allowing me to yell at you today. I appreciate it. Worship team, where are you at? Come on. Come on up.
Obviously, everybody's still standing here. The Holy Spirit wants to move. Come on, worship team. Come on, worship team. Get up here. Let's begin to worship the Lord. Let's begin to worship the Lord, the one that puts breath in our lungs. Let's begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Father God.
Thank you.